A.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 10th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two and our goal to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and in our lives. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant and the solution to the problems we face in America. A good, honest, moral people getting together for liberty can't be stopped. Are we going to take America back, ladies and gentlemen, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time? We certainly pray that is the goal. We don't believe in revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is the answer. Now, let me make this very clear. When I say we don't believe in revolution, we realize that it was revolution that made the American ideals we speak of. So I'm not saying revolution is never necessary. Obviously, in the days of King George, it certainly was, and thank heavens for it. I'm just merely suggesting the founders did not have the blueprint for liberty as we have. They did not have the checks and balances that, if used properly, can restore the republic that we have. The seeds for solution, making revolution not necessary, are in the Constitution, in the checks and balances, in the Bill of Rights, within the people. And if we obey God's law, and if enough Americans demand it, we can use the system to right the wrongs we face. That's all I'm saying. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, available on demand on your Roku player and at LibertyRoundtable.com, starts now. Brought to you by ThePowerMall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. We talked about Obama's Mother's Day message. A real shocker, says WorldNet Daily. Is nothing sacred with this president? Yeah, he used Mother's Day message, this is Barack, meaning to promote the transgender agenda. What a disgrace, folks. Michael Emery, proprietor of TVOI, that's the voice of Idaho News, arrested. Vicki Davis reporting. She says, it's with a heavy heart that I have to report that Michael Emery, proprietor of the Voice of Idaho News Service, was arrested in John Day, Oregon. Now, that's interesting. That's Glenn Palmer's county. We're going to have to talk about that a little bit. Anyway, there you have it. Sad to say, they're continually increasing the net. The reasons for arrest, the details surrounding that, is all up for questions at this point. We're still looking for more news regarding this. Half a year has passed since rancher Jack Yantis was, they say, shot. I'm going to say murdered. Still no closure on the topic. A report by Will Grigg, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Check it out. Our prayers are with Jack and family. I know Jack's not here, people. I'm just saying the prayers are with his family and with his legacy. The cops are out of control in this case, folks. Out of control. And what we need is accountability for one's actions, cop or no cop. We talked about the radio wars. Glenn Beck melts down, attacks Alex Jones and Matt Drudge. Then Alex Jones relentlessly attacks Glenn Beck. And, you know, I see the battle between Alex and Glenn. I see battles on every hand. You know what? There's battles internally that I have to deal with. I'm sad about them. I try not to battle. But I'm also not above mistakes either. But I'm writing an open letter called a clarion call for civility. A clarion call for civility. We need more civility in our society. That's my claim, and I'm writing an open letter about this. We covered a little bit of the letter. But when it's finished, we'll read it in its entirety. It's about done. I got a couple of my... What I do is I'm not that great of a writer, folks. I mean, I understand concepts and do decent with that, but when it comes to the editing of it and stuff, it's just a pain. It takes me a long time to place my words to where I'm satisfied, partly because I'm a perfectionist, partly because there's others that are way more talented at it than I. But I feel so strongly that we need more civility in our society, and what we need is proper leadership to lead the way, show Americans a better way. And I have fear that I'll be ignored, but you know what? I thought to myself, I got to write it anyway. Let it be a legacy of truth in a sea of confusion and lies. And let's see if we can't, make a difference, make a change, a clarion call for leadership, if you will. Anyway, I'm working on that article. Hopefully it'll have some value somewhere to somebody and make a difference in their lives. All right, that was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live, available at libertyroundtable.com and on your Roku player, on demand, at your fingertips. That's yesterday's broadcast. Hour one. Hour two, brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We had our guest on second hour, Mr. Tim Ballard. We talked about TheAbolitionistsMovie.com. TheAbolitionistsMovie.com. Tim is a former CIA and Homeland Security agent. Tim is also founder of an organization, Operation Underground Railroad. Yeah. Our Rescue, O-U-R for Operation Underground Railroad, OURRescue.org is the website. If you want to get involved and learn more, it's just tremendous work Tim's doing. New documentary called The Abolitionists. The film is partnering with Fathom Events for a huge one-night showing. It's an event across the country in 600-plus theaters. May 16th is the date, 6 days from now. The film features Tim in an undercover mission, freeing child sex slaves in Haiti and in Colombia. Believe it or not, 7 traffickers were stopped and 56 children were saved in literal footage in the film. It's incredible. Fathom website for ticket purchases are in my show notes. All right, moving on to President Trump. New York Times says here's how Trump says it would look in the first 100 days of his presidency. In a foreign policy speech, he says in the first 100 days, the audit of the Fed would be well underway. Boy, is that necessary. Kirk Crosby said, man, maybe that means that Donald Trump should pick Ron Paul as his running mate. Boy, would I welcome that. Dick Cheney now endorses Donald Trump, joining lists of conservatives that believe Trump would make a better America. Romney, though, on the other hand, joins Bush's 41 and 43 to sit out the GOP convention, they claim. Well, I pray they do that. Let old Romney and Bush 41 and 40, let all those guys sit on the sidelines, huh? Let Ted Cruz sit on the sidelines, etc. Rush Limbaugh's predicting a Trump landslide, though. That's crazy, huh? Anyway, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. News the networks refuse to use for today starts now. Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby on your radio. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I don't want people telling me they can't hear Kurt, okay? I've got Kurt cranked up as much as I possibly can, so come on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're working on that. We're doing better, folks. Kurt's also, super awake today, so that's good news, right? Mm-hmm. All right, I guess there's a rapper in the news. We talked about this at the end of the last show, Kurt, but we didn't get enough
discussion. A rapper? She is a rapper then.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, so anyway, yesterday we talked about this chick Kurt didn't know. Her name is Azealia Banks, right?
I guess that's how you say that.
Azealia Banks is a rapper, and Kurt brought up some details about her, but we just mentioned it yesterday. I didn't even put it in yesterday's show notes because I wanted to kind of flesh it out and give it more coverage and top billing, because there's a lot to discuss about this that has relevancy, in my opinion. So I saved it for today. So the teaser was yesterday. Kurt did an incredible job. Not only does he tease people over the breaks with the news stories, he's doing it daily now. When you got to tune in the next day, for this stuff. You see what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anyway, what's up with this rap chick now, Kurt?
Well, she's now endorsed Trump. This, you know, this is kind of new simply because, you know, she's, I mean, not supposed to. You know, she's in the class of people who are supposed to support, like, Hillary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she doesn't want to support Hillary. Hillary, Kurt.
Yeah, she says that Hillary talks to black people like we're pets or children. You know, I mean, she basically, she called Trump an a-hole, but she also said that he was, you know, what America needed.
She's going to endorse the a-hole, I guess. All right, yeah, there you have it. Now, I got a little bit to say on this, just to draw a comparison in the media. You know, the double standard is shall be highlighted in mere seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. News the networks refuse to use. Straight ahead, we're talking about this rapper, Azealia Banks. She calls Donald Trump an a-hole, but at the same time, she endorses him for president of the United States. She said her problem with Hillary is Hillary talks to black people like they're pets or children. And she can't stand that, so that's what's going on there. Now, it's an interesting situation. Let me kind of get this straight. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, and James Edwards interview Donald Trump Jr., and they say, hey, Trump Jr.'s hanging out with a bunch of racists. Never mind that we're not racist at all. The mainstream press creates a firestorm over it. Then when I prove the truth, they back off and don't even report it. They're afraid to debate me on race. They're afraid to discuss these issues openly and candidly with me. And then all the black people run around and say, white people are afraid to talk about race. My response is, I'll take any of you anytime, anywhere and talk about race. Let's go. But no, they're chickens, so they bury the news. Nevertheless, that all happens. Now, Hillary Clinton, according to black people, treats them like pets and children. And of course, there's no firestorm at all. But it does encourage black people to start voting for Donald Trump. I find that dichotomy fascinating, to say the least. All right, any more comments on this, Kurt, before we leave the story?
No, not really. I was thinking you might have picked a song that she does. And,
I was going to do that. The problem is it's full of all kinds of stuff, Kurt. We just can't have on the radio.
So it would be like,
beep, 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 beep. That's right. I kind of held off on that. It would sound like there's a trash truck backing up is all it would be. So I just kind of went, nah, I don't think so. Thanks, Azalea.
The one part that she said that I thought was interesting is she said, he's not been groomed and programmed on some MK Ultra tip to do and say what the establishment wants him to.
Well, she's got a point on some of that, you know, and it just goes to show that almost everybody in every walk of life is pretty educated about how abusive and hostile and belligerent the government has become. And if that doesn't tell the tale, I don't know what does. Pete, you're on the radio. Go.
Hi, Sam. I was just going to say that I can't believe the comment you made about the founding fathers not having the checks and balances we do today.
Yeah, they didn't.
They're the ones that invented it.
That's right. That's why they didn't. Hold on, hold on. Stop, stop, stop. We got to have a discussion, sir. We got to have a discussion. So if they invented it, which is exactly what I'm proposing, they said when asked what kind of government they created, they said a grand old experiment. They said you have a republic if you can keep it. They created a unique check and balance system that was never done in the history of the world before. So the founding fathers did not have that when the revolution happened. Do you agree?
I agree they had it because they had 700 years of history, and those guys were intelligent to work off of. They knew what they were doing.
And well, there's no question they knew what they were doing. I'm just saying they did not have that system of government in place to utilize to restore any semblance of liberty. They had to fight for it to get it and then put this system in place. Go ahead, Kurt. And then
they
Pete.
Were dealing with the king, Pete, and, you know, the king was overseas as well. So, you know, I mean, we're not supposed to have a king, even though it seems like we do, but, you know, our system, at least if it was followed properly, is way different than that system, don't you think?
If your point is that the founding fathers were incredible researchers and that they could draw from 700 years or even thousands of years of history to put together the new plan, I concur. But to suggest they had it and they could have used that to restore liberty in their day isn't true.
Well, here's the deal. Do you think that those gentlemen went into a revolution without having a plan on what they were going to do? I don't think they just fought it out and then all of a sudden came up and decided to write the Constitution. I think they had a pretty doggone good idea of what they wanted before they went ahead after the British.
Well, of course they did.
Anybody does. And as far as the checks and balances go, they're the ones that created them with the Congress and the separation of powers.
I agree. I don't get what you're saying, though. What you're saying makes no sense. If your point is...
It makes no sense. They had plenty of checks and balances because they created them. You know, you're saying, well, we have more checks and balances today. We have nothing today.
All right, so let's back up.
We have.
Let's back up, and I want you to explain to me how many checks and balances the Articles of Confederation had, my friend.
The Constitution.
Now, hold on. The Constitution came after the Revolution, sir. Hold on, hold on. Don't debate me. Don't debate me with ignorance. Use intelligence.
Confederation. We also had eight presidents before that. I know. What I'm saying is that these guys weren't stupid.
Okay, sir. I promote the founding fathers. Hold on. I promote the founding fathers every day. I'm not suggesting they were stupid in any way. I'm merely suggesting that since they did not have the checks and balances in the Articles of Confederation that they eventually fought, bled, died for, and eventually gave us as a gift due to their incredible knowledge and their inspiration from God, We don't need to do what they did because they set the stage for us to not have to go that direction. But don't tell me the Articles of Confederation have a lot of checks and balances in them.
Well, let me ask you this. What makes you think that there isn't going to be a revolution? Even just think if...
Well, I never said there wasn't going to be.
One day...
Hold on.
Everybody quit using Federal Reserve notes.
Hold on. I never said there wasn't going to be, Pete.
That it always ends up being a revolution.
No, listen to me. I never said there wasn't going to be.
Well, you know, and I'm wondering what checks and balances you're talking about. Because it seems to me...
All right, well, let's start. Let's start with, we have three branches of government on the federal level, sir. Do you agree with that?
Agreed.
Okay, good. And each branch has a God-given role defined in the supreme law of the land. Do you agree with that?
I agree that each one of them has the power. I'd say the Congress has the strongest power, but...
That's by design, sir. And the Supreme Court should have the weakest.
The weakest would be the president.
Well, the weakest would be the courts.
Well, the president can only do so much without Congress.
Oh, correct, but he can carry out whatever laws, and he's activated on a day-to-day basis. Anyway, the point is, at the federal level, there's three branches of government.
Absolutely.
And on the reality level between the states and the federal government, they're called dual sovereigns. If you read some of the Supreme Court decisions, even Sheriff Richard Mack's decision talked about dual sovereigns. That's a check and balance between the states and the feds.
Now, the states are supreme over the federal government.
Yeah, but there's dual sovereignty. They have different jurisdictional responsibilities. The states have responsibilities as relating to domestic affairs, as the federal government has jurisdiction relating to foreign affairs. They have different roles that coexist, or like a husband and a wife.
Yeah, there you go. But the states ultimately rule.
Sure, but we provided, hold on, by the consent of the governed, did we provide federal government sovereignty in regards to its dealings with the rest of the world, sir? So I point to a second check and balance between the states and the federal government. I'll give you more checks and balances, if you like. The people can remove those who abuse them if they so choose.
Absolutely. We can nullify anything the federal government does.
Now, there are some other checks and balances that we've obliterated in America, one of them being the 17th Amendment, where the state legislatures used to appoint senators. They would have their own voting internally in the state Senate, but then they would send a representative in the Senate that would represent the states.
Agreed.
We've moved more towards a democracy-style abuse of that by having senators elected by the population instead. But that's a violation of the intended check and balance the founders placed in our system. So the checks and balances are there on many fronts.
Not very many anymore. Because it seems to me, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, the judiciary comes out with opinion, and all of a sudden it's law.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that way is the point. If you had congressmen and senators that stood against that, it could stop them. They could impeach these judges in a second for abuse of the law. A lot of people believe they're for life, but they're really there for life based upon good behavior. And so we could remove those judges if we had Congress with a backbone, and Congress could have a backbone if the people demanded it.
Yeah, but you know what? The people aren't demanding it because they're conditioned by the media. They're indifferent to their own...
And that's exactly why Sam Bushman talks about he who owns the media makes the rules, and why we believe one of the biggest pieces to restoring the Republic is to take back the media and tell the tale of liberty. Thanks, Pete. You ran us right into a commercial break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Judge Roy Moore. Speaking of God-fearing Americans that have the guts to stand up, we the people need to back Judge Roy Moore. We'll tell you about it in mere seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Protesting military attacks on its medical facilities and healthcare volunteers in conflict zones, the renowned international medical charity group Doctors Without Borders withdrew from the UN's World Humanitarian Summit, which is scheduled to begin on May 23rd in Istanbul. The organization, which has endured direct and indirect military assaults by permanent members of the UN Security Council, including the United States, had expressed the hope that the UN would address vital access and protection issues for medical aid workers. Quote, "Unfortunately, it has failed to do so, instead focusing on its ambitions to do aid differently and in need, fine-sounding words which threatened to dissolve humanitarian assistance, the organization lamented in a press release. As if the political and financial pressure against North Carolina couldn't get any worse, the Department of Justice has filed suit against North Carolina, citing violations of federal anti-discrimination laws for its newly passed legislation mandating public bathroom use according to biological gender. Nowhere in current law are transgenders given protected status, so the Obama administration is choosing to enforce an interpretation of the law which doesn't exist. Joseph Backholm, director of the Family Policy Institute of Washington, explained to the Washington Times this reinterpretation of Title IX, which was written to require schools to give equal opportunity to women in public schools. Quote, "They're making stuff up. Title IX was created to give women legal opportunity equal to that of men. Now, apparently, the Justice Department is trying to argue that Title IX makes it illegal for women to have spaces reserved only for women. There's no rational way to say that it is consistent with the legislative intent of Title IX. Mr. Backholm said the Justice Department's decision attempts to reinterpret a law worded as prohibiting sex discrimination to bar discrimination based on gender identity, despite transgender rights activists generally insisting on a sharp distinction between sex and gender in other contexts. NSA whistleblower William Binney, who has previously blown the whistle on the NSA dragnet that is actually collecting all Americans' electronic communications, not just metadata as they maintain, says the NSA can't handle all the information they are collecting. In an interview with Russia Today, he said, quote, "By collecting all the data on everybody on the planet, the NSA is just buried. They have too much data to be able to sort out and detect threats in advance." For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, quickly, last question for Pete before we let him fly. Pete, if the founders had the checks and balances under King George, and eventually even in the Articles of Confederation, then how did that work different from the Constitution we have today? Can you answer me that?
Well, how it worked was you didn't have an attorney general saying that they're going to cut off money to a state. Because they're not letting transgender people go to the bathroom. You didn't have a judiciary formulated.
Okay, hold on, stop. That's not a check and balance, sir. You're talking about tyrants here. You're suggesting they didn't have tyrants. They had different discussions for tyrants, no doubt. But that's not a check and balance you're pointing to at all.
Well, that's definitely a check and balance because Congress could stop
it. All right, we got to let you fly, buddy. All right, somehow we got all kinds of news. Hold on. I don't know if we've got a problem here with the news, Kurt, but we're working on that. Anyway, Judge Roy Moore's in the news. Kurt, do you have this piece?
I did see that Judge Roy Moore is now facing the second time that they are trying to remove him from office. Basically, the... now he's been suspended over this, stance that he did, according to the New York Times, on the homosexual marriage, ban or whatever it was, where the federal court told him that they had to allow it in Alabama, and the Alabama, what they call judicial oversight body, has now... filed what they call a formal complaint. I wonder if that's where they wear tuxedos when they do it or whatever, but they filed this against Judge Roy S. Moore. He's, by the way, the Chief Justice of the states, that's the state of Alabama, their Supreme Court. Now they've charged him, said that he had flagrantly disregarded and abused his authority. And he did this in what they say, ordering the state's probate judges to refuse applications for marriage licenses by same-sex couples. As a result of these charges, according to the New York Times, Chief Justice Roy Moore, and they want to let you know, he's 69, by the way. I think that might be a veiled reference to saying, well, he's just too old for all this. You know, he's got to just retire. But anyway, they say...
Never mind all them youngsters on the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah. Well, especially if it's the ones that agree with the New York Times. But anyway, that he has been immediately suspended from the bench, and he's facing a potential hearing before the state's Court of the Judiciary. It's, by the way, a panel of judges, lawyers, and other appointees. Among possible outcomes at such a hearing would be his removal from office. Now, Chief Justice Roy Moore said in a statement, "We intend to fight this agenda vigorously, and we expect to prevail." Huh. Imagine that coming from Judge Roy Moore. I mean, he's been fighting all his days, and I think that's the reason he's so popular, not only in Alabama, but other places. I guess, referring to a transgender activist in Alabama, Chief Justice Roy Moore said the commission had chosen to listen to people like Ambrosia Starling, a professed transvestite, and other gay, lesbian, and bisexual individuals, as well as organizations which support their agenda. It's the second complaint, by the way, lodged by the state's Judicial Inquiry Commission against the judge. Back in 2003, he was ousted by the same body from his position as Chief Justice after he, well, I'll tell you what, he was one tough, evil dude back there because he disobeyed another federal court order back then to remove a 2-ton monument of the Ten Commandments that he had installed, by the way, in the rotunda of the state judicial building. By the way, he was elected to that office again 9 years later. So, you know,
by the will of the people, mind you.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And now maybe the next thing you should do is just run for governor or something like that, I guess.
Well, now here's the kind of rub with this, Kurt.
Yes.
They say in January, Judge Roy Moore issued an order to state probate judges that they shouldn't grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples, etc. So what you got is a battle between the state and the Fed. And, you know, I agree with Pete that the states have greater sovereignty than the feds do, except they have different jurisdictional responsibilities. It's not a battle of who's more sovereign. If Pete's point is that the states created the federal government so they have jurisdiction over, that's true. However, there are dual sovereigns in the sense that they have different responsibilities. And it reminds me of a husband and wife relationship. The husband is to the leadership of the home. The wife's the equal partner. They are dual sovereigns. Ultimately, the husband has, I guess you would say, ultimate answer, so to speak. In other words, there is a head in the order of God. Husbands and wives should work together. Nevertheless, I bring this up to say that, again, we have the checks and balances to fix this. Back in the day, when Pete suggests we had all these checks and balances, King George came for the guns, and the founders said, that's the ultimate check and balance, I guess. Nevertheless, that sparked the American Revolution. Well, in Judge Roy Moore's case, Kurt, he's standing on sound principle. But he got suspended by the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission on May 6th for alleged ethics violations. All right?
Now, our buddies at the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're right in the middle of this, by the way.
Of course they are.
Richard Cohen, he's the president down there. They have filed a series of complaints to the commission, and he said Chief Justice Moore has disgraced his office for far too long.
And yeah, see, my response is this. The only reason it's going the wrong way, ladies and gentlemen, is because we've got a bunch of thugs up there violating their oaths of office, violating the will of the people, violating the moral code that has been in America for literally generations. And I think Roy Moore was right when it came to defending the Ten Commandments, and I think Roy Moore is right again now. If there was enough judges that stood for the right, this would go Roy Moore's way. Okay, but again, it all comes down to the people. Now, if they can remove Judge Roy Moore for his supposed, they would claim judicial activism, I would say, proper role of limited government, keeping one's oath of office. Certainly, if we had enough Americans demand it, we could remove some of these other judges. But I'll give you an example when it comes to the gay marriage ruling. There was only one or two states that even had the backbone to try to fight this, Alabama being the chief among them. All the other states just caved. So how do you expect the check and balance to work when what, Kurt, 47 out of 50 states just cave right on the face of it all?
Was it only 47? But, you know, at least one thing we're seeing lately is North Carolina is just, you know, thumbing their nose at the feds saying, hey, you know.
Yeah, but not over the same-sex marriage issue. They didn't really speak up then.
They should have sooner.
And that's kind of my point, though, is that, look, you can't have liberty work when most people violate the checks and balances we're talking about, see?
Yeah, it's interesting when you see the same people that want us to tolerate them, for example. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be tolerant of the homosexuals.
Of course.
The, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, which in our mind means, hey, we leave them alone. We don't hurt them or anything like that. And yet what they really mean is they want their way. And they like to say things like they've got zero tolerance for our, you know, Ten Commandments, for example. Zero tolerance for Chief Judge Roy Moore. He's just supposed to vacate the premises. Justice Roy Moore held a news conference at which he argued that he was upholding the law as he interpreted it in his capacity as a judge, where the Southern Poverty Law Center president said, for the good of the state, he should be kicked out of office. Judge Roy Moore said, this is about legalism. And by the way, he was wearing his judicial robe and speaking to reporters in the rotunda of the state judicial building. This is all according to the New York Times. Then he went on to say, there's nothing in writing that you will find that I told anybody to disobey a federal court order. By the way, his lawyer, Matthew Staver, a good buddy of ours, made a similar argument, insisting the matter at hand was one that could only be decided by the United States Supreme Court. I might throw into the mix that if the Supremes screw it up, the real Supreme Court will issue a
Well, checks and balances only work if enough people get involved. What if there were more judges standing with Judge Roy Moore than there were against him? The tide would change, ladies and gentlemen. What if a million Americans demanded that these judges be removed, not Roy Moore? Enough individuals can make the change, Kurt, but when nobody stands up but one or two, it's sad to say they get slaughtered.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Let's Glenn from Philly. Let's let him chime in. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Kurt.
Yes, sir. How are you?
All righty. Thank you. I agree with what you're saying, historically and propositionally about separation of powers and checks and balances. However, when enough wolves in sheep's clothing have infiltrated all branches at all levels, if one branch goes awry, the other two, not corrupted, can straighten it out. But when the corruption is so pervasive, it's very hard. And perhaps, as you say, a groundswell of millions could have an effect. But the dumbing down process seems to have been pretty effective, and the having people be material, used to be consumerism that kept people distracted. Now it's getting even more pernicious. So the computers and the phones and the dumbing down and the lies. These people kill, these evil people kill people that get in their way. Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, MLK, Martin Luther King Jr., JFK Jr., Paul Wellstone, they tried to shoot Reagan, Vince Foster, you name it. And they threatened Ross Perot off. They will not let good men rise. They threatened Ross Perot off. They changed the delegate rules for Ron Paul. If anyone of virtue tries for an office, They attack them with insanity. So I have to say, I almost think it must be the providence of God that has gotten Donald J. Trump this far. May God protect him and continue to help him progress. But one man, even if one man tries to get in that office of the presidency and do the things, they can still try to take them out, like we saw with JFK.
Yeah, let me respond, Glenn, because I think you're absolutely spot on target. And remember that our founding fathers warned us when they set up the greatest country on the face of the earth. They called it at the time a grand old experiment because it had never been tried before. And they set up these incredible checks and balances. And they realized the need for appropriate, limited, defensive role government. They realized that no government would be worse. A vacuum would be there, and then greater force would take place to abuse the people. And so they realized that a defensive mechanism would need to be put in place, and checks and balances were the only way to try to protect. But they said a couple of things that, in my opinion, are really relevant to our discussion. And that is, this nation will only work, their grand old experiment will only work for a moral people. And if we're not a moral people, then we're going to lose what we've had. De Tocqueville said, America's great because America's good. He was referring to the morals of the people, the willingness to obey the Ten Commandments. That's why Judge Roy Moore's battle to defend the Ten Commandments is so important. And if we can't live moral lives as a people and self-govern ourselves, there's no way we can expect our government to, quote, do it for us. And every time societal breakdown happens and immorality occurs and people aren't self-governed, government will grow and fill the vacuum. And so the founders said, you know what? It's only for a moral people. And then they said, you have a republic if you can keep it, which means When they say you can keep it, you got to jealously guard your liberties. You got to understand the principles that make the checks and balances in your freedoms happen. And so they said, also, if you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be. They wisely understood that if the people become dumbed down, they will lose their liberties. So what we're really talking about, and I defend Pete a little bit in this idea, which is this: at some point, we may be forced to have a revolution because we've lost the government that our founding fathers fought so dearly for. And in that, I agree, Pete's right. The question is, where are those lines? And I've mentioned over and over and over that I believe the lines relate to when the government comes for your guns, do not give them up. The founders drew the line there. And so we need to be very wise about this, very careful. But I want to be the guy that preaches the message of peace rather than war, of liberty rather than tyranny, of hope rather than discouragement and the lack of hope or despair. I want to be the guy that paints the picture of solutions. I want to be the guy that points the way of solutions and answers. I want to be the guy that educates, the guy that informs, the guy that, well, with eternal optimism, does his very best while we still have a chance. Now, we can debate whether we still have a chance left, and we're certainly racing towards tyranny, not liberty. That's for sure. However, I still submit to you that the system can work when people stand up. And an example of that is Judge Roy Moore fought. He wasn't successful in his fight to keep the Ten Commandments back in the day in 2003. But if there was enough people that would have supported him, I submit to you that he would have won. Well, the people still said, even after that fact, you know what, we want you back in office. So they reelected him. Now he's standing up again. And what I'm saying to you that Judge Roy Moore needs the most is the people's backing. We need to put a war chest of money together to defend him. We need to have enough Americans absolutely make the difference. But if people won't engage, we're not using the system our founders gave us. That's the problem. So I agree with your point completely, but I think there's a reality there, a time frame in which we must do our best to peacefully resolve this. Otherwise, a revolution or a disintegration, might be a better term, will be forced upon us, sir.
Well, and the Ten Commandments monument is very illustrative of the problem with coming up with a groundswell. I routinely inquire, you know, the Christians and sometimes Jews might stand for that, and typically it's more the Christians. But I routinely ask devout evangelical Christians or devout Christians, you know, if they can tell me what the Ten Commandments are and where they can be found in the Bible, and they typically don't know. They don't know the Ten Commandments any more than rehab 12-steppers know the 12 steps of the rehab process. You know, they can't memorize the Ten Commandments. They don't know where they are, and yet they'll stand up and say, "We got to stand for this." It's, you're standing for something you don't even know. And so the knowledge deficits of the public are huge. So as always, it will be a small percentage, you know, who makes of the populace that makes the difference, you know. And then the coming for the guns thing is a sticky wicket, because of course that will be accomplished initially through financial sanctions and fines and tax issues and things like that. And then if people do decide to stand, well, they'll be saying that, you know, hundreds or thousands of people would be taken down as individuals trying to make that stand before thousands banded together to make the stand.
You're exactly right, and that's why we've got to stand together before we ever get to that point. At some point, Pete becomes right, and I become wrong, by the way. If we let enough tyranny get above us, if we let secret combinations, is what I would call them, in other words, cabals, conspiracies to destroy our liberty, get above us to the point where we've lost so much liberty that the checks and balances don't work, then Pete becomes right and I become wrong. The question really is, have we reached that point? I'm suggesting right now we're well along our way towards it, but we still have time, we still have opportunities, and things still can work for those who fight for it. And proof in the pudding is you and I are talking about this very blatantly on the radio now. If we had lost too much liberty to do that, we wouldn't even be able to speak anymore, sir, or would be arrested or killed or somehow taken in the middle of the night or whatever. We still have some time is my point.
Right, right. Well, yes, and we have a window of opportunity. If sufficient crises either occur spontaneously or are fomented, then, you know, Americans are creatures of lifestyle. They tend to do that which preserves their lifestyle. They're not that tuned in what's happening to their neighbors or other people. A lot of people are going to make choices in the face of crisis to do that which preserves their lifestyle. And it will have to be those who commit their their lives, their sacred honor, and their property to the cause, as did many of the signers of the Declaration who lost just those very things.
I couldn't agree more. And I would say this, you're right as rain again when you say that, you know what, we don't need the majority, we need the few. I agree with that, but we need enough of the few. In other words, you know what, if we could even get 2 or 3 million that were solid as a rock, we could get a lot done. But the problem is there's just not enough of us. I mean, for example, you know, to run Liberty News Radio, to run Liberty News Daily, to run RepublicBroadcasting.org, we're talking about literally less than $1 million a year for every bit of it. 1 million Americans could put $1 a year in and solve the stability of alternative media in about 2 seconds. The problem is we can't get the people to do it. So that's why I say we got to have enough of us. It wouldn't take a Herculean effort or the majority, not even close. I submit to you that 1 million Americans in one day could put in $1 at the start of every year, say January 1st, and they could put $1 in, 1 million of us, and we could simply put that to Liberty News Radio, put that to Republic Broadcasting, and instantly our budgetary realities would be solved, and we could literally move on. It would take them one day, 1 million people. That's 1/3 of 1% of the nation, one day. We're talking about peanuts, but at the same time, it would make all the difference in the world. In fact, we'd have a lot more funding than we have now. It'd probably be 4, 5, 6, 7 times the amount of funding we have now, even if we did that. And that's just a little example of what I'm talking about. We don't need the majority, but we got to have enough of us.
Right. 20% would be a great number if we could even get there. But, small increment, large numbers of funding can work. I mean, that's why we've seen crowdfunding, you know, and micro loans and stuff internationally for projects. But, or, you know, crowdfunding, like a GoFundMe type thing, might be a good idea. However, I suspect those sites probably wouldn't allow for...
They wouldn't allow it, but we could put up our own sites. And even if we couldn't get 1 million people, if we only got 100,000 people and it took us 10 days of $1 a day, we could still get it done with only 100,000 of us. And I could even bring the numbers down and how long would it take us for a month. 30,000 Americans for 31 days could make it happen. See, it doesn't take that many of us, really, if we were serious. The problem is not enough of us are serious because, as you wisely point out, people just cling to their lifestyles of immorality. And, well, the founder said you have a republic if you can keep it. The debate is, can we keep it? I sure pray the answer is yes, and I will advocate for that cause as long as I have breath to do so. Thanks for your call, sir. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.